I'm joined by Janice Stillman. She is an editor. She's been an editor for most of the last 20 years with the Old Farmer's Almanac, founded in 1792. And they are known probably as much as anything worldwide and nationwide, at least, for their forecast, particularly winter outlooks and sometimes the spring and summer as well. They are the oldest almanac, and I found out earlier that there are a lot of almanacs that are out there, including one that is called just the Farmer's Almanac, and then the Old Farmer's Almanac. But Janice, I think what is really interesting is that how many, you said there's a lot of other almanacs that are out there, but you're the oldest, right?
Good morning, Steve. Yes, indeed. Well, I'm not the oldest, but the almanac is the oldest.
and you've had and the familiar hole in the upper left-hand corner. That also is a tradition that has stuck around for, well, I guess what, for time as long as you've had the almanac. Is that pretty much right?
Almost. Indeed, you know, the earliest editions, which were about 46 pages, so substantially smaller than what we're publishing these days, but they didn't put a hole in because it was just a pamphlet of sorts that, you know, people could read. But people themselves began driving a nail through the corner to make a hole so they could hang it in the barn or the kitchen or the shed or whatever. And then as soon as the industrial age came along and we as the owners were able to actually put the holes into it, we started doing it. And, you know, it's funny, in the late 90s, right before I came to the company, there was a reader survey, and we used to do these reader surveys for, you know, every few years, and the question was asked, what about the hole? It's costing us something like $45,000 to put a hole in multi-million copies of these, the Old Farmer's Almanac. What if we let it go and keep the money and put it to other resources? And folks in a landslide response said, no, keep the hole. We love the hole. So, you know, the hole is made about 12 or 15 issues at a time, and we're talking about 2.5-3 million copies get holes. So it takes quite a while, 24/7, to punch the holes in before the books get put into the displays and into the trucks and shipped to stores.
Legend has it that the hole was primarily in there, at least that was the legend, that it was primarily in there in the days before there was indoor plumbing, when there used to be a privy that would be outside the door, and something to read and to hold on to while you were doing whatever you were doing. But that's I don't know if that's just a myth or whether that's has any basis in reality. It doesn't really matter. But the weather forecast is your claim to fame, and the weather forecast formula has changed over the years, though, hasn't it?
Well, of course, it's changed with technology. So, you know, in recent decades, we've used all kinds of the latest state-of-the-art technology and satellite data, which is, you know, a number of meteorologists, anybody really has access to it through those channels. And we do believe that the sun influences the weather here on Earth and the climate, and specifically the sunspots and their cycles. And then we look back through decades and centuries to see what conditions were on Earth when the sun was going through its various phases. And then we make our forecasts also using meteorology, which is a study of the atmosphere and the jet stream and the land temps and the ocean temps and things. So it's a mix of information that is different from most other resources, and that has brought us traditionally 80% accuracy.
Wow. And one of the things that we were really curious about is that you come out with your weather forecast, and the winter forecast seems to be the one, at least for this time of year, as it's being published now, that it seems to have the greatest interest. How tough will winter be where we are? And you have a number of zones throughout the country that you have. We're located, I believe, in Zone 10, I think, right in the center of the country. And I'm looking at it right now, not so cold and not too wet, which sounds like a pretty nice, actually pretty decent winter forecast for us.
Pretty decent, but don't get too comfortable because we are predicting temperatures well above normal, yes. But also we're predicting a lot of snow in various occasions through the winter. For example, right before Thanksgiving, we're predicting a snowstorm for your area. So if you're going to grandma's or getting groceries, get them ahead of time. And then we're predicting very cold spell and snow right before Christmas and into the new year. little bit in February, and then a snowstorm right before spring comes along, too. So it's going to be pretty sloppy, be mild periods, snowy periods, cold periods, rainy periods, icy periods. So, yes, not so cold, not as cold as usual. In fact, we're looking at January to be the coldest month, with temperatures only slightly below freezing on average.
Okay.
So it won't be too bad, but, it's still going to cost you to heat the house and make sure the tires on your car are good and, get the kids ready to go off to school or wherever.
Trust me, Janice, we're used to it. I'm going to guess where you are, you're used to it too, but where we are, we're used to winter being roaring its ugly face from time to time. But one interesting thing is that the forecast that you have and the forecast that the quote unquote Farmer's Almanac, which also seems to be, I'm not sure which. It's surprising that they don't call it the new Farmer's Almanac, but that's another story too. But they're saying it's going to be just one of the most awful winters nationwide. Obviously they're using a different formula, aren't they?
Apparently. I mean, ours is not so secret, but apparently theirs is. I can't really speak for how they make the forecast, but I just want to point out to your listeners that Farmer's Almanacs as a genre, as like sports magazines, fashion magazines, pick your choice. But Farmer's Almanacs are as old as dirt. So long as people have been growing crops and keeping animals, they've kind of looked for some advice, some time-saving tips, and some guidance. And, of course, the almanacs came along way back in the Egyptian period, and my understanding is they were first chipped in stone. They actually had a lot of astrology versus astronomy in the earliest editions. But Robert B. Thomas founded his in 1792 when George Washington was president. And we have the calendar pages because folks then didn't have clocks. And, again, they were keeping their own animals and raising their food. And they needed to know what time the sun rose and set and the moon was up because they put a lot of stock into moon phases and moon cycles and, for example, growing by the moon, planting by the moon, and doing a variety of other household chores by the moon. So Robert B. Thomas loved astronomy, and he brought the most detailed and specific and accurate information he could to his readers. And so we've evolved from that. But there always have been farmers' almanacs. Back then, too, there were several farmers' almanacs. There were more regional publications. But like I say, like news and fashion and sports magazines, they're abundant.
Now, how is it putting the almanac together in the year or the age of the pandemic? How has that been?
Well, we follow the same kind of procedures, actually. We've got some people working at home, some people working in the office, and we reach out to people as contributors across the country, and it really has been fine. We've had great cooperation from our vendors on the outside as well, so folks will find the almanac, for example, in all the stores that they used to find them in, all your big box stores, all of your hardware and department stores, supermarkets. In fact, if you can't find it, go to almanac.com. Add a slash in the words where to buy, and you can put in your zip code, and it'll tell you exactly where it's sold.
And again, there's a lot of features in here. I mentioned the fact that it was a few years ago that I found out about the total solar eclipse that was coming right by our neck of the woods, and I was able to see. We were actually able to drive down a little bit south and actually go and actually see a total solar eclipse, which is typically a once-in-a-lifetime event, if you ever even have that chance. But it was pretty spectacular. I actually saw it turn dark and actually was able to see Mercury, which is something you can only see when there's a total solar eclipse. But that was another story. But you've got a lot of other features that are in there. The most practiced sport in the world, what is that?
Oh, come on. Surely you know what that is. I'm sure everybody who listens has tried it one time or another. That's skipping stones over water.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm thinking about that. How to clean your chimney. You've got all of the, you've got eclipses that you have of things that are some eclipses. Now, a lot of the solar eclipses, but a lot of lunar eclipses, that are going to be coming up in this coming year. And the calendar actually is really designed, a lot of it is designed so for planting purposes, isn't it?
It's a combination of things, actually. And if you love astronomy, I think you'll love the calendar pages because every month identifies the various planets and stars and conjunctions in the sky, and it tells you exactly where to look. But you will also find eclipses around the world and those that will be available to you from wherever you are in North America. You'll find the meteor shower predictions. You'll find the bright stars. We call them the planets, the four biggest planets that you can see when in the sky. It's really, astronomy is really what drives the Old Farmer's Almanac. It's the spring from which everything, it is the well from which everything else springs, which is to say the gardening and the weather, because it's from the sky and the seasons and the home remedies and the planting materials and all the other content in the Old Farmer's Almanac. But the calendar pages are virtually unchanged since 1792, but of course as current as the next minute.
Always, there's a multitude of things that are in the 2021 Old Farmer's Almanac. First came out in 1792. And again, it's available. Is it available everywhere right now?
Wherever books and magazines are sold. Can I give you just another little hint on the weather, by the way?
Oh, yes.
If you're just a little bit skeptical about forecasts, and I totally understand, we're not 100% accurate, just 80, but we've got a folklorish or sort of old hands kind of treatment is from Colorado State University. You can predict the rainfall patterns months before by digging a hole. Go down 40 inches deep and take the ground temperature. For example, if you do that now, a warm fall soil, that is, we're a few days away from fall, the temperature of the soil is warm, it means a wet winter. And warm winter soil means a wet spring. So go out there and dig a 40-inch hole, get your thermometer, and take the temperature of the soil, and you'll see what the forecast will be for the next season.
Okay, the things you learn. Janice Stillman, editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Delightful to be with you. Thank you.